Good afternoon, Scott Baker.
Mikey, how are you? October 22nd. It's 3 o'clock. That means it's time for Lead Better, live and later on podcast. And today's topic that we're discussing, the field note, is Field Note 1595. The title is Confident Leaders Must Learn to Hedge. Now, hedge and confident are not always words you find in the same headline, but yet that is where we're at.
Yep. And I suspect that you're someone who's been accused of being confident ever since you were a little kid. So this might be something that you might inherently do, or maybe it's something that you've kind of thought through already. But the fact that you come across with a broadcast air of confidence means that I'm guessing that a lot of times in your, you know, personal discussions, that people are potentially put off with the idea that you get your way whenever you want because you have the ability to be eloquent around your ideas. And that confidence means that you have two legs up, right? So maybe you've dealt with something like this before.
Yeah, well, and I would say, I don't think that I always get my way. There are people who are misguided for an extended period of time before they recognize the genius of the argument that's been presented to them.
Right, exactly. But it is it would be a common thing with very confident people. Like, I get accused of it from my wife every once in a while, simply because the things that I'm phrasing of something that I've quoting off from online, I can quote it in such a way that feels like it's mine, right? So if I don't attribute things a lot, then, you know, I'll get accused of making stuff up, right? On the fly. So I really try hard not to do that with statistics as well, because I don't want to be called out for that kind of thing.
So look, there's a lot to cover here. So the field note itself, just to be very clear, is sort of targeted around the leaders as you were describing. You know, pompous, dictatorial, sort of authoritarian types who are ready to kind of swing the sledgehammer of hierarchy.
We might initially think of them as pompous, but I think this is something that comes up for like non-pompous people a lot, right? And that's my point. I think this might be you, Scott.
Okay. Oh, wait. So you're saying I don't come across as pompous?
No,
I'm going to keep a check mark here of what I'm on.
Here's the high performers are confident people, right? People who know how to act in certain situations get an air of confidence that is built with the fact that they can command a stage, they can command a crowd, right? And that's the sense of confidence that we're talking about. So the more confident you get thinking on your feet, the more confident you get, you know, hosting in real time, then people will think like, oh, there's a lot of preparation here, right? And maybe there's not a lot of preparation. Like, for instance, you come across as much more prepared for these conversations than I do, simply because of your style, right? So, but I don't think that there's pompousness necessarily in your style. I think that of course, those leaders who might be called pompous and a little bit dictatorial might have to be aware of that a little bit more. But I think it applies to a lot more people than just pompous people.
Good, good. I hope everybody's paying very close attention, keeping some of these quotes to remind folks of later.
Yeah.
And now, I also think, and at the heart of this then is this idea of the hedge. So let's describe it. And so the idea in the field note is if you are accused or you sense that this is a problem for you in terms of the conviction that you bring to the message that you're trying to communicate, that by having a mild amount or a mild degree of hedging, and that doesn't mean like an unsurety, it means like, here's a thing to think about, or maybe there's an idea that we could consider. Here's one way. The list that is in the field note is pretty good. It might be, you might say, I'd suggest perhaps we could consider. It seems to me, in my view, it might be useful to, I think. And we've talked about this, you and I, in terms of all kinds of, including even in feedback, like how the tension around, like, I'm going to give you some feedback is a lot different than I've got a suggestion. right? Now, right. I could be like, I've got a suggestion. Or it could be like, I don't know if this is helpful, but I have a suggestion. Let me just throw it out. They're like, sure, great, right? Yeah. We'd all be like, yeah, I want to hear that.
That's and you different. Really, you really do need to have somebody kind of evaluate what your style is here.
Yes, because right.
If you're not this way and you think, oh, I'm just going to start using hedges, right? You might actually be doing the opposite. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to increase your power markers or increase mm-hmm. your attractiveness markers, you might need to lower the amount of hedges. You right. might
that was the part, by the way, where Mikey started using the social science words in a way that made him seem very, you know, authoritative and knowledgeable.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Well, but I still said it might be something you want.
It might be.
I threw in my own
your head. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the problem, because the field note addresses the thing, which is we generally at Admired Leadership, we outside of the Admired Leader behaviors, we have areas of content on presentation. We have the Style Code website that has lots of free content there around just what you talked about, power attractive markers, the differences between. And a lot of the time when leaders are coming to us, it's more for the other thing. Like I got to get some gravitas. I need executive presence, right?
Right.
And so we start thinking about like, oh, I'm going to sound more authoritative and I'm more full of conviction. But there are leaders who come across too forceful, right? There's right. too much to what they're doing. So in general, we're trying to tell people you're using too many qualifiers. You're using too many hedges. You're using too many sort of these dependencies like maybe, or I guess so, or here's an idea, or there's the problem stylistically in delivery of uptalk. You know, like here's a thing we could consider, right? That yes. doesn't sound like as authoritative as, now here's a thing we should consider.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So totally different message.
You've used the word hedges. You've used the word qualifiers, right? Mm-hmm. I have some thoughts that maybe those they don't belong in the same bucket, but along the same.
I would say a qualifier would sound like given a particular set of circumstances. Like if I'm right. reading this right, it would be this, but maybe I'm not reading it right. There's right. a qualifier.
Well, you know, if this happened. At the end of the field note, there is a yeah. note of caution. Okay. Right, we put it as a note of caution. Leaders who speak more, and I don't know.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
would think of that as a hedge, but what it is it's almost like a disclaimer, but also a qualifier as a way to say this is not true in all situations.
Yes,
we
right.
put it there at the end, but we didn't do that as just like as an example of a hedge. But it is very much.
It is an example of a hedge with some conviction, which is an odd mix. Because I actually do think that you can, as the field note warns, I really do think that this is the case. You could look at this and say, I probably come across too harsh, so I'm going to start using a lot of, well, it may be and it could be. But this has to be in the magic of a style, you know, framework that we talk about. It has to be a blend, because more often than not, even knowledgeable people, most often, I don't think come across with enough conviction.
Right.
I actually enjoy talking with somebody that has a degree of conviction. And I've been at a couple recent live conferences. I don't know if I mentioned like at one of the ones I was at recently, a very knowledgeable, a PhD in philosophy, published a great number of bestsellers. And he gave a talk and somebody was like, I was really looking forward to that talk, but it was okay. Right. Now, what was said was very interesting. And the person asking was kind of curious about like, why does it work for some people and not for other people beyond yeah. just, technically you're speaking out loud, you're using language. And I kind of went to the default that I mentioned from time to time, which is if you were, I think it was, Josh Shapiro is a writer, and he kind of looked at a lot of speakers for a year. And he's like, here's the thing. A great speaker blows their own mind. Right. At some point, you have to, and that doesn't necessarily mean a sledgehammer of conviction to convince you. It just means there's a degree of like, holy cow, is this cool, right? Right. That there's a degree of excitement that they bring to whatever they're talking. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be like wildly exuberant and you have to have all of the charisma in the world. You can be very quiet. Like I mentioned this talk I heard W. Edwards Deming give, you know, in Erie, Pennsylvania 30 years ago. And he could, you know, he was in his 90s and he spoke very quietly and people hung on every word because when he was saying it, he really, really meant it, right? And so you were kind of figuring that out. And so when somebody gets up and starts talking about a concept, but there's, it's like, I guess I believe you. Yeah. That's not where you want to leave people. So very often a leader does need to leave people with an idea like, this is pretty cool. This guy really believes it. We're excited about this. So you don't want to use the qualifiers in a way that diminish your ability as a leader to have impact.
Right.
But you also don't want to alienate discussion, run people out of the room, send the young, you know, staffers, you know, ducking for cover whenever you walk in the room. You're going to have this blend of being able to say, I'd like to suggest maybe this is a view. What is your view? Let's create good dialogue. And so adding some of this ability to put in a bit of that hedge that kind of softens your style, I think is a good thing, but not if it actually over-indexes like the caution note says.
Right. Okay. So if we break down the way that your friend commented on the speaker that you referenced, they said, disclaimer, I was really looking forward to this. And then the statement, I was not impressed. What was the actual word you said?
I just
thought it was okay.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So I just thought it was okay kind of has a little bit of a hedge in it by itself.
Yeah.
The disclaimer ahead of time actually gives you more confidence, right? Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if people are confused between the difference between a hedge and a disclaimer, they actually might be coming across as more confident because you could state your disclaimers just as confidently before you're going into making your statement. So if you're advocating for a certain way, you're saying, in certain use cases, let me disclaim, these people are not who I'm talking about. This demographic is not who I'm talking about. But everybody who's left, here's my observation about them, right? So that's actually confident statement all the way through. But the first two are disclaimers. Like I'm carving these people out in a confident way. And so just be careful. If you're really trying to deal with your power markers, just because you're inserting disclaimers doesn't necessarily do it. These are hedges. There's a little bit different. Like I'm intentionally saying, now I could be wrong here, right? Which most confident people don't want to say, right? I'm open for you to prove me wrong, right? But even that one is like a little bit challenging. So you wouldn't want to go that way. And so it's something that confident people really need to be like, it's not your normal way of doing it, but you got to. And so this is a good example. You went through them very quickly. I like them. I think we should kind of meditate on them for a little bit to see how they can really get into your language game.
And I think, by the way, that you and I both use language like this. And it's particularly effective when, as the field note says, you're talking about something that could be harsh, right? And so it says it rounds the edges of those harsh truths. And so phrases like this allow you to kind of get to the heart of a matter with a little bit of a softness, a little bit that lets everybody really engage with it without feeling too defensive.
So we've mentioned here in the last couple of weeks that when you're giving feedback, you probably shouldn't say, can I give you feedback? That it would actually serve you well if you hedged that a little bit. And the way that we hedge it is by saying not feedback, but one small hedge is advice. Mm-hmm. Can I give you some advice? Another one is, can I give you a suggestion? You're lowering your own status as you're giving those words out there. But are all those, can those be qualified as hedges? Like just be saying, like all the way down to like, can I throw out a hypothetical?
Those are more stylistic presentations than an actual assertion around a proposition. That would be how I would view that. So now you mentioned that you like this list and we should meditate on it. And I think that one of the things that we don't break out in this field note, because there's just not enough time in a field note that you can read in a minute or two or talk about in 15 minutes as we are. But some of these things might work if you're giving an actual presentation. Like I'm speaking to the company, I'm talking to a group at a conference, maybe even if I'm in front of a room for a dialogue, that's a little different than if we're in a meeting around a table or in a one-on-one, right?
Right.
So I there's not even that many one-on-ones where a lot of leaders will be like, I'm glad you're here. Let me tell you how it's really going to go. And then they just, you know, download on you.
You're making a great point that oftentimes the same leader shows up in different rooms in different ways.
Yeah, right.
So therefore, there might be some aspects of your approach to your kids, for instance. Mm-hmm. Like if you're a confident dad who is always doling out advice to anything, whether it's solicited or not, mm-hmm. then increasing hedges around your kids is probably a fine thing to do.
Yep.
Right.
Well,
even though you're not going to do it in the office.
We don't have time to get into this today, but we'll probably resurface it. But one of the things in some of our presentation content that kind of points to this is kind of an effect. I think it's in maybe called this in certain research, that you can reach the point of the Titanic in your presentation, meaning you can level up the degree of confidence and emphasis that you're bringing to a particular point, and it's effective and it's a little more effective. And then you think, I'm on a roll here. I can nail it. I can land everybody here, and you push it too far. And right. then the Titanic sinks. And so I think that's where we're at here, which is sometimes you're going to need to say, let me suggest, or could you consider? Problem is, a lot of times when we hear a leader say, I could be wrong here, which I don't know is the best phrase to use, and it's not one listed there, but it would say, could we consider? I'm open to ideas, and we think you're really not. Right.
Right.
Or
right.
my view is, and you're like, oh, you think this is the view. Right. So you actually have to then engage in the dialogue if you're in a dialogue where it actually backs up the fact that when you had the hedge, there's a degree of confidence, but you're open to the discussion to round the edges.
Right.
There you go.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to point out that it was mentioned in the comments today that we ended the field note with a double hedge by saying it's one option you might consider.
So, I do, right.
Points yeah. for the skillful use yeah. of the double yeah. hedge.
And I love this topic. I love the field note. And I think we did an okay job. I think you have a kind of also a West Coast style. I think there's a California tonality in how you come across from your upbringing, which might be different than mine growing up in the Washington, D.C. area.
But you know, yet, I only will receive that as a compliment. Like, there's no way.
I meant it that way. Right. Yeah. But I would like to, for some reason, like I sometimes end these conversations. I'm like, that was great. Like I thought about that in a different way. Mikey said something in a different way, and I think we did, but I feel like we could have even done better on this one. Not sure why, but that's
okay. We'll try again tomorrow then.
All right.
Okay, bye now.